All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Front Row Material and Front Row Referee. My name is Mike Freeland. Very excited to be coming back for another episode. You're going to be hearing from referee Nick Papa G, and you're also going to be hearing from ECW legend referee Jim Molyneux, and potentially the man from Canada, as he is now and descended on Sin City. What's he going to get himself into? We'll find out a little later on. Right now, let's bring in Nick Papa G. Nick, how you been, brother?
What's going on? How are you, Mike?
I am good.
Phone keep on slipping here. There we go.
I am good. Yeah, we already have a botch. Show just started, and your computer botched. I tell you what, my God.
It's just a botch. It's just re-recorded.
I'm leaking this to the sheets. Holy crap.
Shit.
A lot of things
they're taking the Nashville one, Botchamania.
So, okay, just starting off, this is going to be completely impromptu. What was the name of that? I think it was a pay-per-view. It might have been an internet pay-per-view. The tag team, why can't I think of them? They had one in someone's backyard. Gallows and Anderson. Had you ever seen that?
No, I've never even heard of it.
That is tremendous. Let me look this up. It is a bunch of either indie wrestlers, former wrestlers. They do crazy stuff in his backyard. We might even have to do a watch along with something like this.
Oh my God.
Let me see here if I can find this really quick.
This sounds like a great idea.
Oh, but I'm telling you right now, it's hysterical. The Good Brothers, what do they call their pay-per-view? Well, they have Talk and Shop of Mania.
Yeah, that's their podcast, I believe.
Okay, let's see. And that's their... Speaking of those two guys, haven't seen them in forever. I mean, are they...
No, they've been just... They were escorting Meats into the ring a couple times on SmackDown. That was about it. Okay. I don't know if they're actually storyline split. You know, now it's just three of them. I actually don't even know. I know they had an altercation backstage, you know, just a little drama back there and stuff like that. You know, I know Mia Yim just had something with on Friday at the Lucian at Tiffany Stratton. I know they did, you know, they did a little digital thing for WWE.com. I know I saw, you know, she's like, you know, something's got to change, I guess, because she's got like a 7-match losing streak. So I guess, you know, it might even be some kind of change in direction that way.
So I'm trying to find this pay-per-view, and I don't know why I can't find it, but it'll come to me between now and the end of the show. But it is hysterical. Those two guys together are very funny, funny. It's funny you bring up Mia Yim. I've always been a big fan of hers.
Oh, yeah, she's a close friend of mine too. On top of that,
man, what a great talent! And it really bothered me. And I don't know if this is a consistent thing. Let me know about this. But like with WWE, I was trying to think back years past, and I mean many, many years past. Mm-hmm. They always had some type of roster cut, or even back in the 80s and 90s post-Mania, I don't really remember that. Maybe they did, and I just didn't recognize it.
I think it's more of Ruthless Aggression era, so to speak. And what was that, 03 and above? You know, I think that's, you know, once like the internet was made big, you know, and stuff like that, and it was established, I think that's where a lot of the, you know, the post-Mania stuff would come from, was that was, you know, I think around that time they were trying to make room for a lot of the people coming up from OVW, I think. That was their developmental, you know, before they went to, you know, Deep South and then NXT that you see now and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it was just more of a Ruthless Aggression era. You know, it was like usually like a month or two after Mania, you know, they'd cut, you know, X amount of people. You know, they didn't do one last year, but I know they did a couple throughout the year, actually. Unfortunately, it's just like, you know, you'd see one cut and then, oh, here's two. Oh, here's three. I'm like, oh, here's 10. You know, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, and stuff like that. It was just absolutely insane.
I think that the thing that catches me off guard about this is they very much run it very much like it's a business. I mean, they have the books. They have all this stuff, and they realize that at certain points, if we're not hitting certain figures, that and there's money that's being, you know, used by people who are not getting over. I remember WWE also said something at one point that if an edict was made, if you don't get over by a certain time period or within a certain amount of months, this is obviously, I think, when Vince was still there, that you went on some type of probationary thing and potentially let go. Do you agree with something like that when you're having somebody come up through an NXT or when it was coming through a Deep South or an OVW, that there is a leash at some point?
Of course. I'm like, I'm not really, keen on it or anything like that. You see a lot of the, a lot of the kids, down in NXT right now. I'm like, a lot of people don't realize, too, on top of them, like, besides the roster that you see on Tuesday nights on there, they have about almost 200 people down at the PC signed. A lot of people don't realize that. I'm like, there's, once somebody goes up, male, female, whoever goes up to the top, the main roster, somebody's there to fill the spot. That's like the one good thing now. Then I'm like, they got such, a deep roster of people. But I'm like, this is like that that NIL that they have, the next in line, things that they have. But the, I think they did one in SummerSlam where they're just doing random tryouts for like collegiate athletes or, former professional athletes. They try to, they try to bring in a lot of that, type of person instead of, relying on the, heavy independent people, because they want to mold them, into their own image, which I totally get completely, on there. But, as far as, getting rid of somebody if they don't get over, I'm like, it's such a gray area to me, with that. I'm like, I'm thinking like, well, if they don't really get like, Jesus Christ, his fucking phone. sometimes it's not the talent's fault. They're not getting over or anything like that. Like, no matter where you're at, I'm like, if you're not really given like the right platform, the right type of people to work with, I'm like, yeah, of course you're not going to get over that. But, put them on probation. I'm like, on there, I'm like, I've heard stuff now that they got stuff down there that, I think they give them like 6 months if they don't improve in the ring or something like that. I'm like, they basically just, they terminate them. they just get rid of them that quick.
What really would kind of surprise me was that they don't have something like, I mean, there's a lot of things Tony Khan does that we scratch our heads at. However, it would surprise me that they wouldn't have like a Dark Elevation-esque type of thing where if you're not on NXT, you at least can still continue to wrestle maybe on some form of WWE channel where it just looks a little bit different. But I guess at the end of the day, they have their model and they know what works and what doesn't. And that also takes production time and people and salary.
They still have main event, not to cut you off. I'm like, they still have main event they tape before Monday Night Raw. So I'm like, they throw in like, I think maybe like 2-3 matches, give or take. And lately, I've noticed, I'm like, there's a lot of NXT people that they'll fly in from Orlando. They will just want to, just give them a look. I know a lot of guys have been, a lot of girls have been up there. They've been looking at, people that you see on Tuesday nights, stuff like that. So, there's a lot of something like that. They are looking at people, I guess depends on, if they got a character, they can fit them in story. It all comes down to creative too, on top of that, unfortunately.
Speaking of the situation, you and I were talking a little bit before about how Maxxine Dupri recently at a house show was getting booed pretty hard. And as we know in wrestling, they can take things that happen and then build on them on television. But when it comes to somebody who's young, a young person who's training, getting into the business, from a referee standpoint, you see the two in there and they're going to have their match and then the boo birds start coming out. From a psychological standpoint, I mean, can that, and have you seen that take somebody out of the rhythm of what was originally supposed to be going on?
Oh God, without a doubt. I've seen it numerous times. When I was starting out in 2008, 2009, refereeing, I was at the ECW arena month in and month out, I'm like, and that Philly crowd is merciless, you know. And like, and we'd have a lot of the kids from the CCW dojo at the time, you know, doing like opening matches, you know, opening, you know, maybe like the first like two matches, give or take, or we throw in like, you know, typical indie style, you know, throw them in the, you know, in the scramble, you know, 5-6 person scramble, whatever, and try to, you know, you're not going to get over that way either. On top of that, because, you know, they're doing a scramble that way. I'm like, they're giving you 6 minutes, you know. It's a type of a get in, get out routine, you know, get your moves in and leave almost, you know, so to speak. But, oh, it just throw you off kilter completely, you know, mess with you mentally, you know, mentally big time. You know, I'm like, I know I've had it before where I, you know, where I botched finishes when I was starting out, you know, and the crowd would hear it. I'm like, ah, oh, shit. I'm like, and it threw me off completely. You know, with like, oh my God, do I really want to go back out there again? You know, it's one thing if people have a match, you know, I got to go out there for like 2 or 3 more times.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of people don't realize that part, but oh yeah, it messes with you psychologically and stuff like that. And especially if you've only been doing it a couple, you know, handful of months, you know, so to speak.
I guess on the flip side of that, you know, you're doing a dance, as they call it, and you know, your opponent, your partner tries to help you each other out. Have you ever heard, you know, without giving names, just some cool encouragement or something somebody says to a younger one while we're in there, or tries to, you know, maybe crack up or smile or something like that, just to kind of maybe pick up their spirits, anything like that, that you notice that somebody has done for another person once they feel like, oh God, they've crawled up in their head?
I've had multiple times. I'm like, I've done it myself. I'm like, even in the middle of the ring or something like that, I'd call an audible or something like that. I'm like, you know, hey, throw a hold on there and calm down, you know, take it step by step. Most of the time too, when they're doing matches like that, they should be, you know, basic as basic can be, you know, don't know this high spot, you know, stuff, you know, should be in a match like that. Should just be, you know, basic, you know, 5-6 minutes and that's it. But as far as getting back to the question, I'm like, yeah, numerous talents. I'm like, I've dealt with, you know, even when I fuck up, I'm like 16 years in, I'm like, I still screw up every now and then, you know, and it still gets to me, you know. But I'm like, yeah, it's you know, as long as you got a good, you know, good handful of, you know, talent behind you, you know, nothing, you know, you should be good to go.
It's funny you mentioned, you know, with refereeing and yourself as well, you know, when people come into train to be a referee, they go through the entire same program that wrestlers do.
Yes.
And then at the very end, they kind of add on their specialty. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. Most of them, you know, you'll learn how to bump completely, you know, your typical, you know, back bump, you know, face bump, all that stuff. And like, you learn how to do all that. There's some referees that actually want to learn how to wrestle just as a backup, you know, and have that in their back pocket. I'm like, hey, more power to you. You know, I never went that far or anything like that. But I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, and then we usually do, most schools will do practice matches at the end of training. You know, they'll give you like, you know, say 20 minutes, hey, put together a 6-minute match. You know, something like that, you know, we'll, you know, and then the referee will go from there, and then they can critique the workers too, as far as, you know, with ring psychology and stuff like that.
Have you obviously been a part of a group that has looked at new refs coming in, or maybe they pulled you aside and said, hey, we got such and such, you know, they've only been doing this for a while. Will you kind of give us a rundown of what your take is, or maybe provide them some feedback as well?
Every now and then, I'm like, Matt Tremont, when he had the H2O Wrestling Academy opened up, you know, he would actually, every now and then, he'd message me. I'm like, hey, I'm like, I think, you know, this guy's not going to, you know, make it as a worker. I'm like, thinking, he, you know, he's good enough as far as size-wise for a referee. I'm like, hey, do you mind coming down, you know, like, a night or two, every other, a week or something like that. I'm like, as long as he gives me a heads up, I'm like, I have no problem doing that whatsoever, because I'm like, mind you, this building's only 15 minutes from my house.
Sure, that helps.
Yeah, exactly, without a doubt on there. So I'm like, yeah, every now and then, I'm like, even when I was, you know, in CCW, you know, I'd see referees too on top of that. I'm like, you know, help train some of the refereeing that we had at the time. We didn't have much, you know, because everybody wants to be a worker and all that stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, there's much more that goes into this, everybody, than meets the eye. They just don't throw on shirts and go out there. It's years of practicing and training and getting timing down and knowing how to direct people and how to calm people down. I mean, you're really the coach out there in a lot of ways when shit starts hitting the fan, that they look to the ref to say, hey, you know what? What are we going to do? Or like you said before, call an audible, take control of the situation and kind of calm things down.
And like most indie referees aren't mic'd, you know, we don't have earpieces on or anything like that on the indies, mostly. You know, at least 90% of the companies I work for, we don't have any of that stuff. So I'm like, it's basically, I'm like, as long as you have a veteran referee, or at least a referee that's, you know, coherent, that knows what the hell is going on and how to work a match, you know, then you're usually pretty, you know, you're pretty much in good hands then.
You mentioned before the earpiece and, you know, not to pull the veil back too far, but I mean, obviously we see it and you know, it's behind the ear. It's like an IFB, I want to say.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah. We use in the television industry whenever the producers are talking to you and whatnot, but how often are you hearing dialogue, conversation, or is it just when they have something to say to you?
9 times out of 10, all it usually ever is time cues.
Yeah.
Literally all it ever is. I'm like, even when I worked for even when I was in MLW, that's literally all I would have in there. But all of us at ringside were all in the same channel. So I'd be getting like, you know, I'd hear like the ring announcer cues and something like, yeah, I don't need to be hearing this. You know, I'm trying to focus in on my match, you know, put him on another channel, put her on another channel, whatever. I'm like, but you know, literally all whatever is would be just time cues, you know, on there.
Now, we've seen this before, and I think we saw this especially during the pandemic era, and I don't know if it was just an accident, it probably was, but when they were having their matches, sometimes they had actually cut back, and they had stopped wrestling during the commercial break, and they were kind of standing up and talking, and I guess that was probably, again, due to the pandemic situation, no one else is around.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say there would be, hey, you know, 30 seconds, let's go back to where we were before, and then...
Yeah, they basically get them, like, you know, with, you know, at least on, you know, on that level, you know, they get a, you know, they get a time cue for when they're, you know, coming back from a commercial and stuff like that. So, you know, they'll be like, oh, hey, 10 seconds commercial, you know, whatever. I'm like, usually 9 times out of 10, I'm like, they'd have a break spot put in there. So, you know, anytime, usually sometimes we'll get, you know, somebody gets taken out over the top rope or something like that, for example, you know, right there, that's our break spot. So they're going to cut the commercial. So usually they're painters to the crowd, yada, yada, especially if it's a heel on the outside.
Sure.
That's usually not what they would do if you're, you know, ever went to a Raw or SmackDown live, you know, live show. That's all they would do. They'd be on the outside. They'd be just, you know, BSing with the crowd and stuff like that until they got, you know, hey, we get a, hey, 30 seconds. Then they go back in the ring and then, you know, start continuing the match. But you see it now because a lot of, you know, I know WWE and AEW do that, what's it, that picture in picture when they when they go to commercial. You know, if you actually pay, like, I usually tune myself out when I'm watching, you know, watching the picture in picture. I'm like, that's still my commercial break. But I'm like, hey, you still watch it. I'm like, some of them, they're not really, they're just a lot of Joel Jackson, so to speak, still. But I think during the pandemic, I've heard stories with that. You know, even when they had the Thunderdome, you know, that all the people on the monitors, well, you can't see in there because I was actually on it a couple of times. You can see all the other fans around you, you know, and stuff like that. But you can't see during when it goes to commercial. It actually fades the screen to black. So,
oh wow.
So they once they're at commercial, like nobody saw them then after that. So they could take their break, you know, on there. 30 seconds, like, you know, 30 seconds of, you know, commercial, they would usually start to resume the match then.
This has always been something that people have, God, I've talked to so many people, and they've said, no, there is no such thing. Yes, there is such thing. Is there such thing as a rest hold, or is that just something that's become such a thing, it's kind of grown on its own thing, you know, as far as just a fallacy, or is there such thing?
Well, most submissions usually are rest holds. Give or take. I'm like, you know, people see the rear chin lock, it's a rest hold. That's all that is. You know, people, you know, arm bar, it's a rest hold.
Yeah.
You know, you're still working the match, you know, stuff like that, you know, but
You're catching your wind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all it is.
So many interesting things, and I love the fact that you brought up the Thunderdome, because I will admit that was pretty damn creative.
Oh, we're still
going to have a packed house, but we're going to have people on using social media. Like, that's ingenious to do something like that, because you still have all those eyes and faces and all of those things, and people are still watching, and it just adds a new wrinkle to a situation that was really a clusterfuck, but it was much better. So you had mentioned before that you actually got to do that. Now, I heard there was like an application process and all that jazz.
Yeah, so, it was just literally an app. You just sign up, you know, usually like right before it. I'm like, and if they actually had a spot for you, they were trying to rotate the spots around for everybody. So it's just being refreshed. I'm like, you'd have like, say, all right, hey, you got 10 minutes over here, you know, and then they put you somewhere, you know, behind hard cam or whatever. Or, you know, I was in the aisle way a couple of times. I saw him when I was actually physically watching the show on TV. You know, stuff like that. So it was pretty cool, pretty innovative on their end.
Would you see it as if you were sitting near the aisle, like them walking down past you, or?
Oh no, you would actually just see. You'd almost get the regular cam you would be watching on TV.
Got it.
On there, so yeah, they would just position yourself over there.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, there are so many things that. The pandemic now, I don't know if you recently read an article, and the whole thing really, it tore families apart. It tore friendships apart because everyone was on either side of it. But you got to try to find ways to still be happy and have fun. And I think for those of us, you know, that are fans, you're in the industry, I'm a fan. You still need that. You still need some sense of normalcy, because when everything's going crazy, now, the one thing I will say what they did with AEW during that time was they put, and I thought this was cool too, the extra talent in the wrestlers around the ring as well to cheer on, you know, their fellow comrade and have fun and whatnot. That time will be definitely remembered in the history of the annals of wrestling as one of the most challenging times.
It was terrible. We didn't do anything. I think when we were done, my last show was in February. It was actually weird too, because it was actually March 8th and March 9th of 2020. I did extra work for WWE. I did Elimination Chamber in Philly, and then I was down in Monday Night Raw for down in DC on their, which was the 9th. So then the next SmackDown, which was the 13th, which is actually when the shutdown started. So I went from a full capacity arena, you know, 15,000 people, whatever they had there that Monday, to literally 4 days later to the PC, to when they're doing SmackDown. What a difference of 4 days makes. It was actually just absolutely insane on there. And we didn't do any indie wrestling. I don't think we did anything until maybe August of that year. You know, they were calming down some of the state restrictions.
Yeah.
You know, at least in Jersey, that is, you know, on there. We weren't doing blood or anything like that, God forbid. You know, we weren't, you know, doing any of that stuff. You know, we're just doing just straight wrestling and stuff like that. It might be a random gimmick here or there, like a table chair or something like that. But yeah, there was no blood. You know, we had no death matches going on at that time. So hard to film content, really. I did a couple podcasts and that's about it. That's literally what my wrestling was like for about 6 months during that whole thing. It was terrible.
Crazy. You'd mentioned before, you know, doing work with WWE and whatnot. When it comes to, and I mean, you've been around, you've worked for all these different companies. How would you describe, you know, how prepared they, the best they prepared you for what you were going to do? Do you feel like it was really good communication? All of this set you up for success? Because I've heard in a lot of ways that they're very detail oriented.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where, hey, this is going to happen here. This is going to happen here. That's why a lot of people, when they go to like AEW, and it's very loose, and a lot of people who've come from WWE have a hard time with that, because they say, I don't like this. This is not a structured environment, which everyone knows what's going on. It's kind of like you find out at the last second. So what's it like being in front of a huge crowd? I mean, you're doing something you love. You're out there in front of, you know, 15,000 people. Pretty damn cool.
Yeah. I'm like, even, you know, like, they're like, to get to the stuff backstage, I'm like, they're very detailed with everything. I'm like, they're all about their paperwork. You know, they got to make sure everything, you know, use everything, you know, you get there, you know, you sign in with whoever you got to sign in with. I'm like, you know, you follow the sign where the extras, you know, get dressed at. You know, you would basically, you meet with medical and make sure you're actually capable of doing anything. You know, no matter what it is, if it was just, you know, if you had a, if you had an enhancement talent role, you know, if you had, you know, basically, you know, a squash match on, you know, Raw or, you know, I think the first one I did was SmackDown, and we had a 205 Live afterwards when that was still around. I don't know, so a lot of the guys actually got picked for that to do a couple enhancement talents with that, which was pretty cool on their end. You know, I did stuff with Corbin when he was doing his King Corbin gimmick. I'm like, just nice. just the heat that guy got at that time was it's just absolutely ridiculous, yeah. You know, on there. But
he's very good.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. He didn't even do anything at that time too. On top of that, on there. But yeah, they're very, very detailed with everything. I'm like, everything is literally, you know, hey, we don't got nothing for you. I'm like, hey, you guys just want to, you know, usually, you know, I think there was one time I stayed to Raw to like maybe like 10:15. I'm like, we weren't being used for anything. You know, I basically just split. I'm like, I still had about 2.5 hour drive, you know, leaving from DC back home, you know, stuff like that. And it's the middle of a Monday night too. So it's always fun, you know, and stuff like that. Especially where their arena is in DC. It's literally their downtown area, which is terrible on there. So it's absolutely terrible getting out of that area on there. So,
well, I mean, they still take care of you. I mean, as far as their,
oh yeah, you still get paid regardless.
Still, I'm like, get they your take food. Care of
you. Yep, you got your catering and stuff like that back there. And I'm like, you know, they're, you know, at that time, I think the first time I was there, you know, a lot of the, they were doing the NXT invasion of the main roster because it was getting close to Survivor Series at the time. Oh, no, they were doing that gimmick. So a lot of my NXT friends were actually up from Florida, which was actually shocked me because I didn't even know they were there. So, me and them were, you know, we're just, you know, after they were doing rehearsals and stuff like that, we're just bullshitting. You know, for a little bit, it was like 5-10 minute conversation and stuff like that, which is pretty cool to, you know, catch up with people and stuff like that.
Reconnect, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I did it with AEW a couple, you know, about 2 years ago. I got an all access, you know, pass back there because of some of my friends. I'm like, oh, this is back church is visiting people, you know, at least on that end, because I haven't seen some of them in, you know, God only knows how long, you know, since like maybe AEW started. No, was that 19? I think it was
18. It was, 18, yep.
Something like that. So, yeah, a lot of them I didn't see because they don't want to do indies, you know, because they got the contract. I'm like, but that's kind of like the big thing with AEW, so to speak, with a lot of their talent. They're only working one day a week.
Yeah,
and they're not doing any live events. You know, if they're not going to work the indies, you know, you don't have that to fall back on or something like that. So. You know, that's why you see a lot of, you know, I'm not really going to say sloppiness, but a lot of carelessness, so to speak, you know, in the ring.
You're just not out there enough to continue to get the reps in and the muscle memory. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, a baseball player, if he goes into a slump, he can go into the cages. He can hit, you know, he can do, people can go and hit a bucket of balls if they're in a golf league. But in this, unless you have a second training facility and you can get some reps in, you're right. Things are going to fall by the wayside and it's not going to look good. I want to ask you this. You know, we often talk about in wrestling the term independent contractors. And gosh, that has become such a joke. But it seems like AEW, like you said before, they do allow them to work indies. Do you think in a way that's a drawing point to bring people in is to say, hey, look, you know, we're going to use you. You know, here is whatever you're – I heard contracts with AEW are on tiers as well. So maybe not everyone's and certain things you can do. I think it's a neat thing that they can still work indies. But I did talk to somebody, and they were telling me, they said, Mike, the reason why – WWE specifically does not allow people to do indies is because, and this makes sense, what happens if somebody gets hurt and they're definitely in the middle of something really important at their main job, and all this, now that throws so many things out of kilter. Not to say that can't happen on their main show, their main job, but I mean, you're just trying to protect your asset. You got a lot of money invested in these people.
I'm like, you see a lot of it with, you know, when AEW, when GCW is bringing in Moxley for a little bit. for a couple dates here and there, you know, on there. I think they actually get to a point though, like they, you know, people need a AEW approval, you know, to have them on their shows nowadays, depending on, you know, depending on what they're doing, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, get you to the tier program. I'm like, I think it's literally a, you know, if it's just say they're in tier B, you know, that it, I think it's a paid by appearance deal that they got with it. So it's only when they need them, you know, on there, but they're still actually technically contracted with them. So they can still do indies, but it's almost like, you know, back in the day when, you know, you would have TNA guys, you know, it was TNA people could work the indies still. You know, you'd have that to advertise. I'm like, hey, you know, TNA star, you know, okay, Chris Sabin, you know, just use him, you know, since he's been there for ages, you know, stuff like that. You know, I know back in my days with Chikara and stuff like that, we actually had a team, there was actually a team TNA at the King of Trios tournament back in the day. I think it was like Sabin, Shelley, and I think maybe Sanjay was on the team.
Okay.
You know, on there at that time when Sanjay was actually there. So they actually use those three as, like, you know, as Team TNA, you know, on there. But it's all marketing, you know. That's literally all it is. I'm like, as long as you market, I'm like, hey, we got, you know, current AEW star, blah 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 blah, whatever. You know, it's a ticket selling draw. That's literally all that is. You know, it's just to control you.
Do you think also in some ways they allow Tony Khan allows people to work other shows because in some ways it's a marketing tool. Hey, look, you watch me on this local show. If you like me, you might want to tune in on this night to watch. So it's advertising in a way. I just feel like so many things are changing now in the wrestling industry, and I think it's evolving.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, evolving, which is good. I know some of them too. On top of a lot of AEW guys, you know, they don't want to work in these too because I'm like, they actually work for AEW as a full time gig. You know, they might help out, you know, in travel or, you know, in the tech area or something like that, you know, as their full-time gig. And then they, you know, they go out on the road, you know, they leave Tuesday, come back Thursday, whatever, you know. And then, you know, unless, you know, now that they got Collision now too, so, you know, whatever the hell they're leaving for that, you know, leaving Friday, come back Sunday for that. I'm like, now it's almost like a WWE schedule.
It is,
give or take, without the live events. It's more travel than anything else now.
We're kind of talking a lot about just the differences between the wrestling industries, the different brands, and what it's like working for them. And we're talking with Nick, and we're kind of going down the road with his career as well. It's interesting to talk to somebody and to just kind of hear what they have to say about the different places they've been, what it was like working with this person or that person. We discussed what it's like if there's nerves out there in the ring, and everyone is going to get them. But I thought that was really interesting to find out that there's a lot of different ways that everyone kind of works together to make sure that everything gets back on track if things go sideways. Let me ask you this. If you're not working wrestling, do you still enjoy just on the side watching it, or is it one of those things where it's like, oh gosh, it's been my career, it's been what I've done, and we're not going to put wrestling on TV? Or do you still say, no, let's put it on?
It's on. I'm in the background every time we film this on Tuesdays. I'm like, NXT is actually in a close glare to me and stuff like that, so I keep tabs on that. You know, I'm like, Monday Night Raw is always on. I'm like, everything gets DVR'd. Monday nights, Tuesday nights, you know, Friday nights, it all gets DVR'd. You know, on there.
Wednesday nights, Saturday nights.
It used to be Wednesday nights, not anymore. It takes up too much DVR time.
It does. Your DVR gets filled pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, it was with my wife's shows, with my, you know, I don't really like right now. I got a couple shows. You know what? You know, with like, it's, of course, they're all wrestling based too. Because I'm like, you know, Dark Side of the Ring gets DVR'd. I'm like, all the A&E programs get DVR'd. You know, I watch them during the weekends. I'm like, if I'm off or something like that, so. Gives me something, you know, even though it's wrestling related, but it's still at least, you know, good biographies and stuff. And I mean, like, oh wow, that happened. But
absolutely.
I'm like, there's sometimes I don't even get to be, you know, I don't even get to be fans. I'm like, we're going to Mania this year and stuff like that. It was actually like the first show WWE related I actually been to maybe in like 3 years.
Wow.
You know, and stuff like that. You know, it was. Sometimes I'm like, you know, unless it's like a house show, You know, I don't really like doing the TV, or at least going to it, because I'm like, A, I'm trying to get work for, with them. I'm trying to get extra work, you know. So I'm like, I'm leaving that part open, you know, on there too. But I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, like, you know, Mania is like more of the experience than anything else, you know, that whole thing. But I'm like, every now and then, I'm like, I might see an indie show. I'm like, some people will like call me up. I'm like, hey, I'm like, you know, hey, you want to come down? I'm like, this show is like going to be the shit. So I'm like, we want you to watch it with us, and you know, so we can just make fun of it. I'm like, oh god. I'm like, which actually happened to me a couple months ago. People call me up on a Friday night to actually, like, oh, you want to watch this shit show? I'm like, oh god. I'm that's like, tremendous. Jesus Christ. I'm like, yeah, what the hell? I'm only 10 minutes away. I got nothing else to do. What the hell?
Love it.
I'm not booked on it, so it's even better.
Let's go ahead and let's talk about, since we're talking about Mania, we're talking about Philly. You can't say Philly in wrestling without bringing this guy's name in the conversation. Let's go ahead and bring him in. ECW legend, should be Hall of Famer, I will say. Jim Molyneux. What's going on, Jim?
How are you? I'm doing good.
I am good. How are you?
Should not be a Hall of Famer.
Get out of here.
There are tons of guys way ahead of me that should be in the Hall of Fame before me.
That Aubrey Edwards character, yeah.
Well, I don't know about
that. Oh, you know what, brother?
Listen, you worked in the ECW arena. You probably got the immune system of somebody that lives in a third world country. That's therefore COVID. What? I tell you what, I'm from Philly. Are you kidding me?
COVID's ass.
Oh,
I was at the arena.
Gosh. So we're talking
toilet at the ECW
arena. Oh god, there we go. Here we go.
The toilet return.
The return of the commode. Oh, okay, really quickly, not wrestling related. A buddy of mine for years would always date these just unique girls, eclectic girls. That's the nicest way I can say it. And I feel so bad because we were at a wedding rehearsal, and I was in it, my buddy was in it, and whatnot. And usually after wedding rehearsal, they'll either have a dinner there for everybody, and you go over the show and whatnot. I'll tell you the way I ran
my show.
Go over it, get a script, everything. Well, I had entrance music for mine. I had entrance music, and I had cues. I told the DJ, this is what you're going to do here. Anyway, I told my wife, I said, you better cry, damn it, when I walk down. Yeah, get a tight shot on that. So he brought this date, and this is what reminds me of the bathroom. He brought this date, and I don't know if I didn't listen or I was tired or I had too much Coca-Cola or what, but he told me the name of his date, and I don't know what happened. So I walk up to her and I said, oh, it's really nice to meet you, Latrine. And it was Eileen. And he walks over to me and says, what the hell happened? I said, I just met your date. And he said, you called her a latrine. And I said, that's your name. He goes, no, you idiot. It's Eileen.
Oh, so,
does anybody remember the show Son of the Beach?
Yes. Yes, yeah. It was a spoof of Baywatch.
Right. And do you remember the one female lifeguard's name?
Speaking of toilets. Oh.
What was it?
Porcelain Bidet.
Oh god. God,
beautiful. That's a good stripper name right there.
Wow. Now coming to the stage, Porcelain Bidet.
It sounds like it's on my benchboard pub in Philly. It's the F crew. Gunshot wounds all over.
Oh. Speaking of that, I don't know if I've ever covered this before, but have either one of you guys used a bidet?
No.
Jim, I don't feel like you're being truthful right here.
No, yeah, I've never been out of
You've never used a bidet. Okay, so a buddy of mine in college, his parents were very well off, and it's a suburb of Cincinnati that's very well known. The Linders, Carl Linder's a big guy here in Cincinnati, owns a lot of stuff. Well, anyway, it was in this area called Amberley Village. And I go over to his house. His parents have food, whatnot, a pool party, the whole nine yards. It was like something out of a movie. It was just, you know, beautiful people everywhere. And I basically said, hey, you know, where's your John at? And he said, oh, I'll go upstairs. It's, you know, down the hall in the fourth bedroom on the right, whatever. I said, all right, fine. So I go in there and I'm tired. Maybe I had a little too much Coca-Cola. And I sit down and I'm just I'm relaxing. I'm like, this is nice. And I get my phone out and I'm just scrolling through stuff. And at one point I look around for the paper. And I'm like, I don't understand where what's going on with the paper. So I look at the thing and then all of a sudden there's like a button on his. And I was like, what the hell is this about? And I got goosed something serious, my friend. I had an experience that can only be described as wonderful and terrifying at the same time.
And have you explored this further?
I have not. I don't know anybody well off enough to experience the water treatment. But anyway, I'm going to have to.
Well, if you find porcelain bidet for the right
place. I was going to say, I'll find her.
She's outside the link right now.
that place down in Vineland that runs shows every once in a while.
Oh, God. Was it the old Cashmere's? That's the old Cashmere strip club. Yeah. Or whatever the hell it's called now.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. What a cesspool.
Okay, so why is it, it's funny you mentioned the strip club, why is it that so many wrestlers I talk to who remain anonymous have said the strip clubs and the bars of the strip club seem to be a popular place after a show? Is it just because there's very few places open in general?
It probably is more today than it is then, because I've noticed that, at least on the East Coast, the New Jersey and Pennsylvania, New York too, a lot of diners or restaurants, whatever they were in Jersey, they're diners.
Yeah,
would be open 24 hours.
Yeah,
and they're not anymore. No. Denny's used to be. Denny's isn't anymore.
COVID killed it.
Yeah, COVID killed all that. So
thanks a lot, COVID.
Yeah, I guess that's where the guys are stopping nowadays. It's either that or we're back again talking about, you know, the BP special for dinner.
Man, that's so crazy, because, you know, after you get done with a show, and I mean, catering's obviously before the show starts, so I'm sure that people work up an appetite for afterwards. So do strip clubs, to your knowledge, your names both came up as frequent flyers. What kind of food do they serve at these places?
Oh,
do they
man,
serve food at all, or is it
there
just...
There is one that we actually were trying to get sponsorship with. Back in CCW run, like 2010 maybe, and I went with the promoter of CCW and stuff like that. We actually went over to a Jim might know where this place still exists. The Crazy Horse, right underneath the Walt Whitman Bridge, right around there, on there, right off down on Delaware Avenue? You know, when you go under
when they first built that place, I think it was a penthouse club.
Yeah, it was Penthouse, actually, yeah. It was
originally owned by Penthouse, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. They used to have their clubs. But yeah, and then Crazy Horse bought it, and they were, you know, the background with them, like, they're like a five-star, you know, Vegas strip club, you know, out there. I'm like, they were serving, they'd have full-course meals out there when I went there. Sure, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I got a steak. I'm like, hell, it's not on my card. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going all in.
Yeah, there's another one in Philly. I don't know if it's still open or not. It used to be. And they used to advertise a lot on the radio. Strip clubs don't advertise on the radio anymore.
No.
But
that wouldn't fly.
The place was called Delilah's.
Oh, Delilah's. Yeah, they're open. Yeah.
And they used to advertise, you know, their steak dinners.
Yeah. And they got multiple locations, I think, too. I think the one on, was that State Road in Northeast Philly, yeah, and then Delaware Avenue?
One on Columbus Boulevard, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Near the arena, so.
Yeah. That'll be a popular. There'll be a lot of AIDS going on down there soon. A lot of venereal disease is going to be hitting up those places soon.
I won't deny
that I've been to strip clubs, but I will say that I've never eaten in one.
Have you?
Check. We got that one.
Oh God, I love it.
Rachel's in Orlando.
If this podcast ever did live shows, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about the popular places like that. We're just going to hit up all the strip clubs.
Yeah, I think we should give them reviews. Let's see what their Yelp reviews are.
So let's go ahead. I just want to bring this up here. This is from the website We the Strip. It's not a dirty site. However, this is what they say. While you're enjoying the wonderful live entertainment, we also offer finger foods that you may devour deliciously. Our strip clubs offer the following menu: chicken wings, which are juicy, flavorful, and are dripping with enjoyment from our various delicious sauces. Chicken tenders, so good you can fit them all in your mouth. Mozzarella.
I might have to leave the room.
I just had chicken tenders for dinner.
Oh God! You'll never.
They were juicy.
Mini sliders, nachos, and fries. They also offer cocktail shrimp, spelled a unique way. Stuffed mushrooms. Okay, I didn't think they would offer bruschetta, but clearly they do. Cheese platters, mini spring rolls, and then they also offer sandwiches, burgers, salads, you name it. Gosh, I would have never.
Before salad, that's obvious.
with a side of penicillin. Oh my God, that's tremendous. Oh my God, so you guys have never chosen to wine and dine at said adult clubs, correct?
No. Not after a show, no.
Yeah, that's probably a no-go. It's funny you mentioned Denny's, by the way. I don't think I've seen a Denny's in the Midwest, in the Ohio area for, God, a long time. Is it some of these places just only now exist in very rare places?
Where is the closest Denny's around here, Jim? Was it Vineland? Might be the closest one. That's 20 miles south of me.
Might be, unless you go north and go into like Burlington County somewhere.
Oh, okay,
up toward Trenton near Trenton. Try to go up the turnpike and try to figure out what exit has one.
where are the most gunshots are coming from?
Well, if you don't have Denny's, you might have Shoney's in the area.
You still have Shoney's? I feel like I'm turning the hands of time back.
Yeah, they're the same company.
There's still a Bennigan's actually down in Vineland. The only one in the country that's actually opened.
Wow. I think,
and it's actually still it's actually a franchise. I actually used to work down in Vineland years ago, and I would pass it every day. I'm like, I wonder if they still have a Turkey O'Toole. I'm like, what a great...
He just names one of the menu options. I love it.
You get the baked potato soup. Oh, you call it a day.
Does Denny still offer, and maybe this is dating me, the Grand Slam?
Ham over Miami.
Oh, beautiful, man.
They still have
commercials around, at least watching over here, like locally, they still have commercials. So.
Wow. Shoney's and Denny's. Did you guys ever have a restaurant called Rax? It was like a precursor to Arby's. It was a roast beef joint.
No, we had for roast beef joints before Arby's, we had Roy Rogers here.
Roy Rogers, okay.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, if you tell me that you have a Ponderosa near,
I was just going to say that and a Sizzler, maybe a Ground Round, and we'll call it a day.
Ground Round. Oh, my God. I'm moving to that part of the country.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there.
Oh, love it. Jim, you look less enthused with that. Were you not a Ground Round aficionado?
Whenever I tell people this, I feel bad that I give the impression that my father was cheap. But for when I was growing up, going out to dinner was going to Burger King and eating in the parking lot. He did not like going out to a restaurant. So that was what we did. That and there was a place that you got. It wasn't in your area, and Nick, you're too young to remember, but it was called Burger Chef, and it was kind of like Burger King, and that was the place he loved. I don't know why, but then when they closed up, we moved to Burger King.
Take me to the Wendy's or the Super Bar, and we'll call it a night.
Right. I used to work at my first job was a place called Gino's, and it was the local. It was a burger joint based out of the Baltimore area. And instead of the Big Mac, they had the Gino Giant. But they also had the local contract to sell Kentucky Fried Chicken because there were no KFCs. So they contracted out to different places in different regions to be able to sell their chicken. So we made their chicken. It was horrible.
So you're saying they didn't use the six original spices in their chicken?
They did, but this was the first job I ever had. And so this is how long ago minimum wage was $2.15 an hour.
Wow.
And Gino's paid you $2.10 an hour, and they got away with it somehow. But their idea was you could make whatever you wanted for on your break to have to eat.
Oh,
okay.
So I said, well, how about if you give me the 5 cents and you keep your food? So, I didn't last very long there.
Oh, I'll take the nickel. The food's the shit.
That's what it gives you.
My manager had a meeting with his regional manager at the restaurant. This is what got me fired. And he calls me over, and I was like 16. It was just really a summer job to pay for what I had put out for prom, the prom night, the previous prom season. So I had a little peach fuzz, and as you can tell, I really can't grow much of a beard anyway. So I was very proud of what I did have at 16. And he calls me over, and he says, in front of his regional manager, you need to shave. You can contaminate the food. And I turned around and looked at him and I said, well, you should wash your hair because that dandruff that's hanging all over your shirt gets in the food too.
Oh my God.
This is like some bar rescue stuff right here.
right.
Wow.
And I was gone the next week. And the guy who got me the job was my next door neighbor. He came knocking on the door. He goes, what did you say to him?
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
God bless you. Doing the Lord's work there.
Final check, please. Oh, man. Why? So do you guys
But I did pay off my tux and the prom tickets.
How was the prom that year? Was it good?
That year was pretty good.
Good. Have you guys ever seen these while you're traveling on the road? They're like a combo restaurant. Like we have Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell. Let's see.
Because they're both owned by Yum.
Okay. So it's a lot of people around here call it Kentucky Frocko Belkin. And yeah.
So. Yeah, there's down the street from me is a Taco Bell and a Pizza Hut combo.
Oh yeah. Yeah, very rarely you don't see the combo ones anymore. You know, that much, which sucks.
If you do, it's usually Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell. They're owned by the same company. Yum. I think it's a Chinese company.
I would love to have an extra dose of Olestra, please. Thank you, sir. Oh my! You guys remember when that Olestra thing was coming out and they were putting potato chips in?
Potato chips, yeah.
You may have on the back anal leakage. I mean, oh my God, that was a big thing. I was like, I already have it. So
that was a thing they used to, remember when they used to list all the things that could happen to you by taking a certain drug.
Absolutely.
They were advertised on TV. And my favorite one was oily discharge.
It's my dinner sometimes.
Oh.
It's my shitty cooking.
In both directions.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Coming to the stage, oily discharge.
Oh, she's at the link right now.
Oh man. We have
turn it up.
We've been talking about so many different things. I want to get to another topic here. This is kind of a little weird one, but I want to ask you guys this. So obviously a lot of places in the country are legalizing marijuana, which is failing out to have some medicinal purposes and whatnot. The other thing is, you guys hear about recently, they're saying, and this was on CNN, that if you have really bad anxiety, that they're trying to get it approved where you can take a dose a day or maybe multiple doses a day of LSD, and it's supposed to help you. Yeah, did you guys hear about this?
No.
I will send you in our group chat where they were saying that it helps significantly with with anxiety. Oh, I'm not surprised.
Doesn't it make you more paranoid?
I have no idea. I've never tried LSD before.
Yeah, same here. My wife's got a medical card and stuff like that, but we don't have it laced with anything. Not to my knowledge, at least. I don't know. She's been sleeping on the couch by now, but
I don't ask any questions.
She's probably cursing at me right now.
But LSD. Nancy Reagan, God bless her soul, would be rolling in her grave right now. Going, yeah. LSD. Lord. So anyway, I'm going to get to the shower stuff a little bit later. I'm going to bring this to the center. Couples in wrestling. So obviously, you know, ECW, we did see that there were several couples that were on again, off again. The most prolific one was Tammy and Chris, which for those on the inside have said that was not good. Not good. Even WWE people, when they were the Body Donna, said it was bad. But CJ Perry and Miro went on social media and announced that they have broken up after 7 years. Now, they haven't filed for divorce yet, but they still want to work together. Let me ask both of you guys this. When there's a breakup going on in the locker room with a couple, can everybody feel it? Is it kind of palpable? Is it kind of weird when certain people were really tight groups, or do people just realize this is just life in general and move on? Like, what's your take on when a couple breaks up and they're backstage and they work for the same company?
I've never experienced it. I don't think there were any couples that had broken up and worked together in ECW. I think the couples that were in ECW broke up after their time in ECW. Obviously, Kevin Sullivan and Nancy. That happened when they were both in WCW, but they had both been in ECW. You know, there are a couple other, I'm not going to bring them up.
Right.
They've broken up and moved on, but there are other couples that were in ECW and they seem happy together. They traveled together. No, you know, never seemed to be any problem. But yeah, I never experienced any breakups either before or during ECW.
I dealt with one. Well, I got married in 2014 in April, and I actually took about four month hiatus because I just wanted to clear my head, you know. And I'm like, I didn't have a break or anything like that. And at that time, I'm like, the CZW locker room was very, very toxic. You know, I'm not gonna name the relationship or anything like that, but. You know, just the locker room was just getting very toxic, and I'm like, I couldn't deal with it anymore. So I took some time off. You know, I come back, and I just see, you know, these people all screaming at each other. I'm like, what? And so I pulled somebody aside. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, oh, such and such found out that they were cheating on each other. I'm like, ugh. And then they, all three of them worked for CZW at the time. So it just, I'm like, ugh. So they had to go into a separate locker room and actually talk it all out, to actually, you know, be professional about everything and stuff like that, because it was like an ugly scene. I'm like, well, I guess I came back at the right show. I'm like, gee, thanks, guys. I'm like, I wanted to clear my head with all the bullshit. And, well,
congratulations on getting married.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome back to work.
This is my gift.
Wow. A lot of people have said before, and that, and people you guys have both know, again, I will protect the names of the innocent, that what happens behind the curtain is far way more entertaining than anything they could write or script up in front of the curtain. Would you both agree to that?
No, without a doubt. You just got to go right through the curtain. I'm like, and I'm usually talking shit right at Gorilla with people.
Wow. So as far as couples go, I mean, I think it's an interesting thing what's going to happen with them. It sounds like things are mutual and applicable, and things are going to work out fine. It's just kind of weird, you know, being a wrestling fan, and you find out behind the scenes that people are together, and then obviously they're not, and your heart goes out to people, because any breakup is going to be tough, much less having to be on national TV every single week and deal with that, and whatever the audience yells, you know, most likely things that are not exactly the nicest. Speaking of things that aren't the nicest, we talked about one week some hotels that you guys had stayed at that probably weren't the best. Now let's talk about some places that absolutely I would love to go back to. In any city that you were at, did they have a good continental breakfast? Did they put nice linens there for you? What was one hotel that you said, oh my God, if I come back to this city, I'm going to make sure the promoter puts me up here. We'll start off with Jim. Jim, was there any place that really made you say, all right, I can deal with this. This is nice.
Yeah, there was a place that was well beyond our means. And I have to thank Rick Rude for using his Marriott points, because I think we were driving him, and it was when we were in Orlando, and it was this, it's still there. I'm not exactly sure what location it is. Excuse me. And they may not even be Orlando. Maybe Kissimmee. Excuse me. But there's this huge Marriott that looks like a castle. And he had made reservations there, and we're like, okay, well, we're way on the other side of town, you know, we'll come and pick you up tomorrow, whatever. And he's like, no, here, I use my points, get your room. And we're like, oh wow, okay. And it was like the most luxurious thing I've ever done. It was, you know, you kind of think of like Kevin in Home Alone 2, where he's in New York, the giant bed, you know, the plaza. That's what it felt like.
So Nick, any places that really wowed you? Like, oh man, these people didn't skimp here.
I think we did a show in, I think we're, I did a show in Indianapolis years ago on there. And it was actually a Wyndham Plaza. It's by the airport, actually. It should still be there. You know, pretty good, you know, decent breakfast, you know, five-star place. I'm like, it actually had a patio. Well, I'm like, oh, okay, I really don't need a patio for me being the only person in this damn room. And I'm only here for about maybe like 10 hours at the most, if I'm lucky. You know, because I had like a 7 a.m. flight back to Philly that morning, you know, and stuff like that, so... I'm like, yeah, that was actually probably a good one. And I had another one down in Orlando, I think, actually, too. It was for WrestleCon, the last one that was down there. So whatever mania that was, whenever the Hardys came back, I can't remember what the hell, which was it, 17 maybe or something like that. I don't even remember on there. But they actually, there was nice Mickey Mouse pool and stuff like that in the shape of Mickey Mouse. I'm like, oh, this is pretty exquisite over here. I'm like, it sucks. I'm only here for about maybe 8 hours because I was there. I got down there like Friday night on there. My shows were all Saturday and I flew back Sunday morning.
you didn't get to enjoy the patio.
No, I enjoyed work and did nothing. And then flew home half concussed.
Yeah, that's the problem. Half concussed. You know, fly in and do the shows and fly out.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'm like,
don't have time to enjoy something nice.
No, I ate at the Subway and a Starbucks.
Now, this may be just me thinking, you know, incorrectly, but do a lot of times when you're traveling with a company, and I know, Jim, obviously you're good friends with John and Mike and whatnot, but like, do refs hang out with refs outside, or is it no refs? mingle with the other wrestlers. I mean, they have their own cliques in general. I guess I just always wondered if, you know, obviously if you work in a company, oh, this department, that department, do a lot of refs hang out together, or does it just really kind of depend on who the hell gets along with whom?
That's, you hit the nail on the head on that one, at least on my end. I'm like, it depends what ref gets along with what ref. I know Jim's probably had, there's at least nowadays too. There's ref on shows. I got work to do. Jesus Christ. All right, let's make this 3 hours plausible. Let's get it over with. You know,
if you're going to go out and have a good time, or you hanging out with mostly refs, or you kind of hanging out with a mixture of people?
It's usually a mixture. We, like in ECW, we would all kind of meet up somehow. You know, if we're traveling, especially if we had done like TV, and I'll just say Poughkeepsie, for example, do the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie. And once you're done, you leave, you start heading south on, I think it was 9. And there was one diner that, you know, was out of town, and everybody stopped there because we were on our way to Philly the next night, or you know, somewhere, or New York to the Elks Lodge, or you know, the other way around. You know, we'd all end up staying at or stopping at the same diner. And we do it during the day too. You know, you're traveling from one place to the other, and whether you leave a half hour or 20 minutes before or after one group, you come across each other at, you know, the Burger King, or if you're lucky enough, the Golden Corral.
Oh, there you go.
Golden Corral. We don't have that anymore around here. Man. Now, okay, a Golden Corral, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that, I don't want to say an updated version, but what was the place before Golden Corral? Old Country Buffet.
Right. Same.
Same concept.
May have been the same company. There was a place down in the Atlanta area. In fact, they had one right next to the Cobb County Civic Center called Ryan's. And
yes.
Well, I don't know. They must have made money hand over fist whenever, you know, they were in town to do TV there at that building, you know, because you figure the NWA or WCW was there, what, once a month? For TV. And then we went in there for a pay-per-view. So, yeah, some of those places do really well when wrestlers travel through.
So here's a question I've always wanted to ask referees. So like when you guys are traveling as well, you guys get asked as well when you're walking through the airport or you're waiting for something. Hey, you know, can I get a picture? Or can I talk to you about this or that? Is it generally a consensus of, hey, look, we're on our own time now. Like, you know, no thank you. Or do you humor some people and talk to them? Because some people say it's a mixed bag. I talked to Mikey, and Mikey said, my God, they actually know who the hell I am. Yeah, I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things. Some people don't mind fans coming up to them when they're traveling or at the airport or tired. Some people do. What's both of your takes on, I'm dog tired, I don't want to talk about wrestling, or I know that you were at the show or whatever. How do you handle that situation to kind of get yourself out of it? We'll start off with Nick.
I the one thing, I'm like, you always hear the stories about, like, you know, fans, you know, like sleeping outside like airport terminals, like waiting for such and such. But, you know, they got a red eye in from like LA or something like that, and they're waiting outside to get stuff signed. I'm like, That stuff's kind of, you know, despicable, really, in that aspect of things. I'm like, you know, you gotta realize, I'm like, once that red light's off the camera, I'm like, we're all real people. I'm like,
correct.
Some of the people see on TV, I don't care whatever you watch, I'm like, everybody's a real person. You know, don't stalk them outside airports. I'm like, that's just wrong. I'm like, but even like what, you know, like you said, I'm like, hey, you know me, you know my name. I'm like, hey, I'll talk to you or something like that. I want a picture or stuff like that. I have no problem doing it. Just like, don't like sneak outside, like wait outside like my car or something like that. And, you know, you know, I'm like, it's just like, that's like stalkerish.
Very stalkerish.
I'll bring it up over here. I'm like, there's a couple local, there's I think like one local fan down here in Jersey. I'm like, she goes to the H2O shows religiously, but she works at the shop right up the road from me, where me and my wife go. You know, I'm bagging and stuff like that, and she'll come up to me like, "Oh, there's my favorite ref." I'm like, "Ugh." I'm like, I'm like, and it's every time I'm like, you know, and she's like rude to my wife. I'm like, "Hey, you know, this is my wife." You know, blah blah blah. She's like, and she'll just like literally like no sell it and like keep on trying to talk to me. I'm like, "Yeah, my wife can literally beat the shit out of you right now." I'm like, and I'll let her do it. So. I'm like, it's like fans like that, which I'm like, but you know, as long as you're like the, you know, nice, normal, calm family, I don't care. I'll talk to you then.
Self-awareness, read the room here. And,
yeah. It's some people are just disgusting with all that stuff. I'm like waiting outside. I'm like, you know, I don't know how these fans find these people's, flight info. I have no idea. I'm like, unless they're literally looking up their real names and stuff like that on like flight itinerary, you know, like, oh, no, here's where they land.
This used to happen to us as an ECW group. There was a group of people that would wait for us in the baggage area in Cleveland, and they would know when the flights came in. And what they would just basically do is they knew where people were flying in from. And would wait for those flights to come in, whether we were on them or not. They would think, well, they're probably on the 10 o'clock, coming from Philly. So you know they would have their stuff ready for Francine or you know Sandman, whoever flew out of Philly, and then you know the New York crew, they'd have their stuff ready. But they never really had a lot of like they do now, like guys. You know, these autograph companies who have, you know, 20 things to be signed, they would just, you know, then it was just, you know, like a magazine. Here, could you sign my magazine or, you know, my shirt or whatever? But they wouldn't, and just me personally, I could walk through the airport and nobody know who I was. But we were so hell-bent on promoting ECW, everybody wore an ECW shirt. They knew who you were coming through. Like you're like an invasion to your town. But yeah, and you know, one thing I picked up from, I got this from Dusty Rhodes, and I got this from Jim Duggan also. One night we were going from show to show, and we were in a big caravan, and Dusty Rhodes was with us, and we sat down to eat. We had a big long table they set out for us, so we could all sit together, and I was so lucky enough to sit across from Dusty, and people started coming up, employees started coming up to him and asking for autographs, and he called the manager over and said, look, I'll sign anything and everything. I'll sit here all night and do it if I have to. Just let me have my meal. And so he called everybody off, and afterwards he signed stuff for him, no problem.
Wow.
With Jim Duggan, I remember one night he came in from doing match, and he was checking into the hotel, and got swamped at the front desk at the old Marriott at the airport. I think it's a Sheraton now. And he turned around and he said, "Hey, look, I'll come back down and sign anything and everything you have. Just give me about 15 or 20 minutes to go upstairs, just get everything out of my bag. Call my family, make sure everything's okay at home, and I'll come back down and sign whatever you got." And he did. Wow. And I asked him about it at another time, and I told him that I had seen that. And he said, "You have to remember, these people are the ones who are paying your mortgage. If I was to, you know, say, 'F you, I'm not signing anything,' you know, I'm on my time, they're not going to come and see it. They're not going to buy your shirts or your pictures or, you know, the big thumbs up fist that, you know, they would sell through WWF, you know." And so I really always remembered that, you know, the fans do pay your mortgage in the long run.
It's funny you see, you know, certain people who have a great sense of humility, and they are so willing, like the Dusty and Jim. It's neat to see that. It really is. But I mean, like you've said before, and you know, like Nick said, on the flip side, you know, there's some To Catch a Predator people out there that are a little weird. You know, they got an extra chromosome and you don't know where they're hanging out or what they're doing. And I think the big part that I think is really weird is why are people this fast? Like, I love wrestling, love it. But I also know that if I see somebody out and it's not a fan interacted type of thing, I'm probably not going to say anything just for the simple fact that I would feel a little awkward approaching somebody when it's not a wrestling related thing. But again, it's everyone's different, right? Just like the lady working at the store, read the room, know when it's your favorite star, know when it's appropriate to talk to them, or
going back to the Marriott, I used to take my son over there on Sunday mornings. And this was before I got into business. And he would want autographs from the guys and the women. And I told him, I said, make sure when you approach them, you say, sir or miss, and say, please. And say, if they sign it, say, thank you. And he did that with every one of them. And in fact, there was one time that, it was Bobby Heenan who had gotten in the van, and the guy shut the door, van door, and took off. And Heenan must have said, "Hey, go back." The kid was just chasing me down, and they went around the loop and came right back. And Bobby said, "Do you have something for me to sign?" He said, "Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Heenan, and thank you." And he signed it. He was, you know, very nice about it. But there were also guys who would see my, at the time, 10-year-old son. come walking up with a trading card to sign and took off like a bat out of hell to get away from him. And I, you know, when it's a kid, I have no problem at all.
But yeah.
I was about to say kids, that's completely different.
Right. Yeah, unless the kid's exactly standing there with a stack of 20 pictures that his dad gave him.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of, I've heard some wrestling people say that they'll hawk this stuff, you know, either on eBay or online or Facebook Marketplace. And now you're not.
Also, they're the ones who try to get you outside of a convention. Well, I'm signing inside to
buy a ticket. Money. Yep. Buy a ticket. Yeah. People. That's why the aliens aren't coming down. They've researched us, man. They know we are a weird group of people. They're telling their alien kids, don't go down to that neighborhood.
Well, you know what it is? The aliens come down and they see us walking our dogs and picking up after them and feeding them. And they know the dogs are in charge.
Yes. They realize who's butter and who's bread. Yep. Wow. So many different things. I mean, obviously we could go over. I don't want to keep the night too long, but I also want to kind of ask you guys the question of, you know, Paul, we know Paul Heyman's going into the Hall of Fame. That's really exciting. I think we're still not sure who's going to induct Paul, but we also found out that Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda are going in as well. Both phenomenal talents. Absolutely. Bull Nakano is going into the Hall of Fame as well. Interestingly enough, Bull Nakano looks younger right now today and looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
As opposed to the WWF and Japan days. I mean, she looks phenomenal. She hasn't aged at all. In fact, she's gone backwards, and it's just, wow. It's impressive. It's impressive to see these. What's your thoughts so far, both of you guys, on the inductees into this year's Hall of Fame?
Can't really complain, Roy. I'm like, as long as you know, obviously, you know, Heyman's the superstar going. Yeah, he's like the prize piece going in there. You know, besides like Bull Nakano, I'm like, you know, to this generation, I'm like, people don't know the U.S. Express tag team.
I'm
like,
right?
Oh no, that's the scarier part. I'm like, people don't like, this is a shitty Hall of Fame or something like that. I'm like, I know they just announced Muhammad Ali last night.
That's right. Him as well.
You know, They got him going in there. Well, I'm like, what sucks that he's going in there so late? Because I'm like, you know, it'd be nice if he was still with us and stuff like that. You know, so you know he could accept it that way too. But it's like I think like the generation. I'm like, they don't know. You know, obviously everyone knows Muhammad Ali. No matter how old you are, at least you should. You know, but you know, and then you know, unless you're all like diehards or like people we work with. You know, unless you follow, Joshi Wrestling, I'm like, you may not know who Bo Nakano is, and stuff like that. I'm like, I had the honor of working with Manami Toyota, years ago. You know, I guarantee you people don't know who she is.
I would agree with that.
On her. She was an innovator of, women's wrestling back in the day, stuff like that. But it just, hopefully they get, a couple more, notable people, so to speak, that like, at least this generation knows. Like I know all the people going in there. I'm like, I know you, the two of you, also know, but this generation might not know. Which, that's the part that sucks.
Yeah,
on there. But I'm all for this class.
Jim, what's your take as well? I mean, are you pretty happy so far? And I would agree with Nick about it. It's a shame that Ali wasn't inducted earlier when he was still with us, but. Do you guys remember, I think it was when Hogan came into WCW, Bash at the Beach 94, he was struggling back in 94. Do you think it's a situation of maybe if they reach out to the family, they say, hey, this is probably not a good time? Or do you think they ever reach out and tell a family we want to induct someone, but due to health situations, maybe let's wait? Or how do you think that process goes when somebody is still with us yet health is declining, then they don't want to put them necessarily in a uncomfortable situation on camera?
That could have been. You have to remember Muhammad Ali lighting the torch in Atlanta.
Yes.
For the Olympics, and he was in pretty bad shape. And yeah. God bless me, he made it through. I thought that was amazing. That could have been the situation. We approach the family and say, here's what we want to do. Is it a good time? And let the family make the decision.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the class so far. The one name that, God, if he's not in Philly, the next time they do it in New York, he has to be. But Jesus Christ, I don't know how Bam Bam Bigelow's not in. I really don't. He made a lot of money for the company at that WrestleMania, again, and making Lawrence Taylor look like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was such a great guy. He had demons. Go through everybody that's already in the Hall of Fame and tell them, the majority of them had demons.
Go up and down my street.
Yeah. So I don't think that should be a restriction for. Someone being in the hall of not being in the Hall of Fame. There are other things that are worse that people shouldn't be in for. I think Bigelow should be in there. I don't know if how many more they're adding. They always have that kind of like offshoot of the technical awards for the Oscars. They have that group of like eight people that we acknowledge, but we're not going to need to bring them in.
The honorable mention.
Yes, honorable mention. Yep.
We're just going to wave to them and say, hey, nice job.
Yeah, I love the stuff that he did. And for people who are not super familiar with Bam Bam, I mean, God, he worked everywhere. I mean, he was a UWF guy. He was a territory guy. He was
Japan.
So I never got a chance to meet Humperdinck. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
No,
Jim.
No.
I thought they had a great act going. Mm-hmm. And God, he's done so much. Like you said before, how is it that certain people like that are just not in?
It's the politics of the business.
Sure.
That's what it's got to come down to. And the reason for him, precisely, I don't know what it is, but it's got to be some kind of political, situation that, we can't do that. Maybe since things have changed, it's a new company that owns the WWE and different people are in charge. There, maybe there are a lot of things that, well, that was that was the past regime's problem. I don't have a problem with that. Put them in, or you know, whoever, put somebody in that deserves it.
I was watching some stuff on Peacock, and I don't know if we ever talked about this, but this tag team that I'm going to mention, oh my God, they were doing stuff, and I'm going to make sure I'm saying the name right, the Jumping Bomb Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, do you realize if you were to put them in 2024, they would easily keep up with everybody, if not kick butt. I mean, they were so technically good.
They would be better fit for A&E or AEW, and they wouldn't hurt anyone.
I believe it.
They knew what they were doing. They were well trained, and you know they didn't do that much here in the U.S. But so go watch the stuff of them in Japan. Oh my God,
yeah.
So good. And let me ask you guys both this. Do you feel like when you talk to wrestling fans or the topic of wrestling comes up, do you feel like a lot of people do go back in the past and watch some of the old stuff to try to educate themselves or be historians? Or you think people say, well, I got introduced in, let's say, you know, 95, and all I know is from 95 and above, or all right. I know is from 2000 and above? Because if you don't go back and watch some of the stuff that was the precursor to all this other stuff, they laid the groundwork for all this stuff. I mean, the Piper Valentine dog collar match to this day, you know, was fantastic. What was the pay-per-view event where Flair came in on the helicopter? It was an outdoor event.
It was a Great American Bash.
Great American Bash.
96, 95, 96, 97, somewhere in there.
So good. So it's curious to see how many people really are willing to go back in time and watch some of this stuff. Because if you think stuff's good right now, there were eras before that really were good, and you're missing out.
And it goes the opposite way too, because there are people who don't know the new stuff, and you know, just grown out of it or don't like it. Depending on what. When I used to promote shows, I'd go into there was this one store I'd go into all the time, and the guy would constantly say, is King Kong Bundy on the show?
You keep asking?
Yeah, every time, every month. I ran monthly shows at this place, and gonna be on the show? No, he's still dead.
Oh, this was after he passed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's still dead.
Still dead's the answer. Wow. When I ask you both to get your take on, how do I even kind of go into this? Well, here, I'm just going to throw this out here, and wrestling fans can check it out themselves. More news has come out in the last couple of days about the whole WWE TKO stuff. If you're interested, you can read up about that. The whole thing is just, it's mind-blowing. It's like a crazy movie. Wow. It's just, it's something else. And I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but it's, I will say this, it is the craziest thing I've ever read in my life. If any of it is even factually close to being true, which is always the big thing, how much of stuff is fact and how much stuff is, you know, hyperbole. But wow, interesting.
It's going to be a 4-part episode of Special Victims Unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rip from the headlines.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, I don't know. People who know I'm a wrestling fan will say, "What's your thoughts on this?" And I just say, "I'm still in shell shock." Which I'm too naive, but it's just a situation of.
To me, it's such a deplorable situation that I take myself out of the business.
Yes,
it's not a fact of whether I'm in the business or a fan of it or whatever. It's such a horrible thing. I was always taught to respect people, to respect. This is going to sound, you know, old fashioned, but respect women. I still hold doors open for women. I mean, you know, and I don't do it just for women. I do it for everyone, but particularly women, because I was taught to. And being the father of a daughter, my daughter, you know, being a father of a woman, I want to strangle everybody involved. I want to see them all hung in public, because that's not how I wouldn't want my daughter treated that way. I wouldn't want my wife or anyone in my family treated that way. You know, any female has been treated like that. And trust me, if it was my daughter in a situation like that, I'd be willing to go to jail. I would. And trust me, I've contemplated going to jail over things that have offended me like that. That, you know, it just irks me so badly. Like I said, you know, they should all be hung publicly. So maybe someone will go, oh, maybe I shouldn't act like that. Or maybe I shouldn't treat people like that.
I think the only thing I can think of is, and this might sound very generic answer, but a lot of times power corrupts. And those who have power, those who have money, they do see themselves above the laws that, you know, Joe Blow, we have to follow. And I was always told, my parents always said this to me, it's well, this doesn't necessarily apply in this situation, but you'll get the gist of it. The act is of doing something bad is one thing, but the lying and covering up is even worse sometimes, which in this situation, it's all equally just horrible. But if any of that's true, the covering up and the this and the that, oh, God, I can't. But anyway, if you want to read up about that, it's online. But it doesn't seem to be deterring a whole lot of people, which really surprises me. I listen to Jim Valley. If anybody knows Jim Valley or has heard of Jim Valley from Wrestling Observer, he actually speaks very frankly about any topic that he talks about. And he talks about, you know, these situations and is very candid about his feelings and doesn't, you know, placate the situation. And he's very disturbed by it. And I hope TKO makes the right decision, because the world is watching. So, all right.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add on to it, just real quick.
Sure.
If you're a woman or even a child that's in a situation like that, don't be afraid to go get help.
Yes.
Find some way to get help. Go to the police. Go to a shelter. Do something. Go to a hospital. Anyone that, you know, go to, you know, a church or whatever you think you need to do to get help, get out of that situation. You need to get out of there. It's wrong.
Yeah, no, that's a great comment there. I agree. It's
you can just tell that my blood's boiling now. It just fucking irks me.
Well, I don't want to do that, because this is one of the highlights of my week. I love talking with you guys. So let's change this here real quick to some more. Let's have some haha. So this is from healthygem.com. Healthygem.com. Not a sponsor, but I'm giving them a plug. These are more harmful than good. More harmful than good. Skip these bad habits that you perform in the shower. All right, so I'm going to ask you guys both this very first question. How often would you say you or your wife or whoever does, you know, maintenance or whatnot around the house, how often do you change your shower head? I can say, first of all, when we moved in here, it's the same shower head, which probably isn't good.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think I've changed mine. No. And I just had my bathroom redone, and I don't think we changed the shower.
Well, I still got the same one here. It's 4 years going.
I don't know what the lifespan of a shower head is.
I've been in my house for 30 years.
You've had the same shower head for 30?
I don't think it's been 30, but it's...
Okay. You worked in the arena. You got a shower head that potentially is 3 decades old. You ain't getting nothing,
the water
Jim.
The refuses to come out of the shower because of what I contaminated at the arena.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. So here, this brings up our next really good one. I'm going to throw this one to Nick first. Nick, how hard do you dry? And what I mean by that is, do you like, what kind of towels do you use?
Regular bath towels. I get at like Target.
Okay. Do you scrub vigorously to make sure that you are 100% dry, or
no.
Do you pat it dry, your skin?
No, I kind of just pat myself dry. I'm like, that's what the heat's on in the house for.
There you okay. I respect that.
air dry afterwards. As long as I'm not like dripping, you know, dripping water all over the house or anything like that. Since we have hardwood floors, I don't need my cat sliding into the side of the wall. You know, God forbid. You know. Yeah, I don't need that.
Jim, let me ask you this. Let me also throw this question at both of you really quickly. This is bathroom habits, but does any of you take a bath? Or are you guys all shower people?
I don't shower.
Okay. All right. So I'm the Lone Ranger there. Jim, let's go to you as far as drying. Now, do you pat yourself dry? Do you vigorously rub to get dry? And there's a final option. I'm not going to say it, but I want to hear what your answer is.
Well, it depends on what I'm drying. I mean, you don't vigorously want to scrub certain parts.
This is true. That you got. I got to clarify. We're saying your back, the trunk of your body, not your loomy areas.
Yeah, it's usually pat dry.
Pat dry. Okay. I air dry.
Okay. You don't use a towel at all?
No. I'll step on the towel to make sure I don't
towel himself.
No, I don't towel myself at all. I just sit in there. While the little vent goes on. I sit there and I just let myself calm down.
You just wallow in it.
Maybe I do. Maybe I start sweating again and I'm kind of greasing myself up all over again. But I air dry. Oh. Yes. You should try it one day. One day you should just try to air dry. See how the experience goes. It's actually magnificent. Let me ask you this question. How often do you guys shower in general? Do you guys typically shower once a day? Are you a morning and then before I go to bed at night shower? Or how does that work?
That's once a day here.
Once a day?
Yeah, it's once a day unless it's a heavy-duty yard work day.
Okay. Well, they actually say that unless you're doing something incredibly vigorous that's going to have sebum, and sweat permeate outside of your pores, then yes, obviously shower. But showering every day actually will dry your skin out, and you can get dry skin. That's why. Do you guys lotion up afterwards or no lotion? I'm a lotion guy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Not me.
No.
No? Your skin's good, right, Jim? Skin's...
As far as I know. I haven't run into a problem. Well, no.
Oh my God!
I mean, I did have surgery on my nose.
All right, next question. How long is said shower? Your options are 0 to 5 minutes, 5 minutes to 10 minutes, 10 minutes to 20 minutes, 20 plus. Where do you fall into that category? And this isn't after yard work or working in the garage or doing this kind of, just on an average day.
I'm 0 to 5.
0 to 5. You get in, you get out.
Yep, I know.
Jim,
no, what's your thoughts?
Well, it takes me 5 minutes to get into the shower. I'm so fucking old.
Oh, jeez.
My knees don't bend that high without help. It's terrible. I don't have that walk-in shower that most senior citizens have.
Well, you just got, you're getting the shots. You're getting the shots in the knees.
Yeah, no, I get. It's fun. It's fun getting old. No, I'm in probably the next group, 10 to 15. Depends on if I'm trying to. If I don't shower until nighttime, it depends on if I'm trying to squeeze it in between periods of the hockey game.
Oh, that's right. I see you. The Flyers, my friend.
Either that, or it depends on what match is on TV that I'm willing to miss. This is a shower match.
Are you? Do you follow the Eagles as much as Meanie does?
No, I'm not an Eagles fan because I have Eagles fans in my family and I know how they act. Plus, I'm not a big football fan. So,
fair enough. Nick, who are you a fan of football wise? If football is something.
Whoever wins me the most money, actually. I am a degenerate gambler. That's basically me from week 1 to like whatever the hell, what was it, week 18 now we have on there. So it's like That's basically me on DraftKings or FanDuel, one or the other, putting lineups in. I'm like, what?
His favorite team's Washington, George Washington.
Exactly. Hey, I love it. Hey, DraftKings paid for my Mania tickets this year, so that's all that matters to me. Nothing came out of my wallet this year for Mania, so.
So, you don't have to share, but I went to Mania in Chicago, and I will say right now, it is it's a very expensive thing. I would say we spent more going to Mania than we did our honeymoon. So, it's a very expensive ordeal. Are you happy with where your seats are?
Oh yeah, I left it up to my wife's cousin. Like, he actually got stuff on the very first pre-sale that we actually had in Philly. On there, and we actually got the combo deal for Saturday, Sunday, you know, on there. So it's same seats for both nights. So can't go wrong with that. It's in the lower level bowl, you know, so it's like 10 rows up. So can't go wrong with that.
Definitely post some pictures from your seats as well.
Without a doubt.
I went to the Mania, I can't remember what number it was, the one that was in Atlanta where
that Cena Miz, I think, right?
Yeah, and Austin was the guest host of the night or whatever. And the tickets didn't cost me anything. We got them through media because I was working with it wasn't a podcast. There weren't podcasts yet. It was an internet radio show. So we went, and the only thing it cost me was my flight and my meals because we stayed. Scott Hudson was on the show. So we stayed at Scott's house, and Scott worked for, I think he still does, works for the FBI, and he's an attorney for the FBI, and the FBI building is right across the street from the arena, so we parked in the FBI building, didn't have to pay for parking, and like I said, we stayed at his place.
Beautiful loopholes.
Right, we ate at Abby's, but that was the only one I went to, and we were on the 30-yard line, and probably about 20 rows up, and so we were on the side of the stadium where the ramp was. So figure, you know, the rampway, and we're about, you know, 30 yards from where it starts. But we watched the whole show, all the matches on the big screen, because you know they were looked like ants from where we were sitting.
That's a problem with them.
Stayed home and would have, you know, been cheaper. The beer would have been a hell of a lot cheaper.
Oh God, yeah.
You guys ever gotten an opportunity? I know that for the Hall of Fame, they have friends and family that can sit on the floor. Any opportunities? Have you done that yet, or would you? Or
yeah, I would.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Because I would think that there were other friends and family that we'd be sitting with, or at least near. So it wouldn't be that bad. It's, you know, like I'm being thrown in the middle of a giant swamp of fans.
This is true. How many shout outs you think Paul's going to give to ECWP? You think it's going to be a good speech? Really? Oh, that's bothersome. If he doesn't do some ECW references and thanks people, that would bother me. Am I just being am I the mark here that's looking at it from that perspective? Because
no, I'm just the negative person of him being in there. He deserves it, but everyone has their own perception of him.
This is true.
So everyone's coming from a different point of view.
Who do you think is, well, maybe this is probably not the best one. Who would you think would have had a better experience working with? Herb Abrams or Paul Heyman?
Oh, wow.
Well, did Herb have any problem paying these guys?
Down the line, he did.
Yeah, towards the end, he did. Strippers, cocaine, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, obviously it lasted longer with Paul.
This is true. Interesting. So that's the Hall of Fame situation that's going to be going on. Muhammad Ali, you're going to have Wyndham and Rotunda who are going in. You have Bull Nakano going in. Am I missing anybody so far? Anyone else been announced?
No, that's it so far. I'd like to see who's going to bring them into the Hall of Fame. I would think the obvious choice for Bull would be Medusa.
Lundra, yeah.
Yeah, I think she would be the obvious one, and I'm sure she's very willing to do it. You know, I don't know. Do you go with a modern tag team to bring in the U.S. Express?
You know, I don't even tell you where you go with that, to be honest with you.
You know, it's a shame, though. You can't think of someone that should be bringing them in. You know, there are no tag team managers that you could use. I would think they would have to be, and there are no relatives with the company, I don't think, anymore to use. Maybe Cody. Cody wouldn't be bad.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Hayes?
I don't know if Michael. Yeah, Michael would be all right. That's the thing. Put the APA together, bring the APA out, and have them do it. You know, or bring an older, you know, bring a tag team that you could, you know, use. Like I said, the APA would be a possible choice.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to find out what happens with all this, but that's the Hall of Fame right now. I'm sure they're going to add a few more people in as well. It'll be in Philadelphia, stomping grounds. Any new news, Jim, or not quite yet?
I'm going to go ahead and say what I'm doing.
I'm not trying to pressure you, by the way.
No, you know what?
I have more shower questions, but
no, let me do this instead. Thursday night the 4th. Is that right?
That's the 4th. That's the 4th.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a calendar.
Thursday night the 4th, I will be making a return for the first time to the ECW arena. And the people at WrestleCon are putting on an event, putting on matches. And I will be refereeing a match, at least a match. I know Rob Van Dam's going to be there. I think the two they've announced three matches, I think. And Rob Van Dam against Mike Bailey and Masato Tanaka.
Masato Tanaka. Oh my god!
And there's another match that they had announced. I know Guido and the Big Don are going to be there. Tommy Rich. They're doing a reunion of I'm going to say it wrong. The Bariscas. From, you know, Savio Vega and all
the Bariquas.
Bariquas, yeah.
I knew I would say it
wrong. Los Bariquas.
Yeah. They're going to be there. So that's Thursday night. There's something earlier Thursday night, and they haven't announced anything about it yet, so I'm just going to leave that alone. But for WrestleCon, I will be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 9 to 2. Joining me on Friday and Sunday will be former ECW referee and promoter Paul Richard.
Nice.
Who is also a former WWF referee. And Saturday only, it'll be myself and John Finnegan.
Oh, wow.
Together to sign. That's going to be fun. We've never had the we've worked together since ECW, but we've never had the opportunity just to sit there and autograph and do autographs and bullshit and make fun of people and, you know, all that fine stuff that we're known for. And then that Sunday afternoon at 2:30, I'll be at the SPO wrestling event in Burlington, New Jersey, and Burlington's a half hour from the link or something like that.
Yeah.
So the show, their show will be done in enough time for, if you have tickets for Mania, to get to the link for and not miss any of Mania. And their event starts at 2:30 in the afternoon. And go to spowrestling.com for information. The first two matches are free because they're going to be outside in a cage. And then you can pay from there to get inside to see the rest of the event. Their main event, or if it is their main event, but their heavyweight championship match is going to be the champion Homicide taking on Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh, wow.
Should be interesting. And also the Carnage Crew, H.C. Loke and Tony DeVito, who are both ECW alumni. And Ring of Honor alumni, they will be having their final match together as a tag team. DeVito is going to be hanging them up. I don't know if he's doing a singles match after that or not, but I know this is his last tag team match with Loke. So it's going to be an interesting weekend.
Special show to go to. If you're going to be in the area, you're going to be checking out Mania, please, please, please check them out. The web address, what, spowrestling.com?
Yes. And then go to WrestleCon.com for information, not only for the convention itself, but for the offshoot events and things they're doing. I know they're running like a bus shuttle from the Sheraton there where the convention is to the link for WrestleMania. So they have some other things going on that they're announcing here and there. Still have some time before May, you know, before that week. So they're announcing a few things. They're announcing more people every day.
It's going to be a big event, you guys. If you're going to be in and around the Philadelphia area, please, I'm going to post some links.
Waving people down where my table is. They keep adding more people. I think I'm getting pushed out the door.
Well, in ECW, there may be a few tables broken.
I'll be Tony Luke signing autographs by the time it's done. No, it should be fun, so stop by.
Stop by, say hello, get your autographs and your pictures with ECW referees. I think that's going to be tremendous. Nick, give me the rundown. What's going to be going on again? Your appearances, what's going to be happening, the whole nine yards?
Next show will be, where are we at here? March 23rd, actually. I don't really get to do it too often, but it's a small company called Wrestling Independent, which is actually, they're doing their second show, Northeast Philly. We actually drew almost about 350, 400 for the last show.
That's very good. It's
on there. It just sucks that we're going. Yeah, well, everything scores more than that, but on there. But we're actually going up against Impactors actually in town too, doing a TV taping. So I might alter the crowd a little bit, but I think we're away from that area, so to speak. So it should be all right. And then you know the Mania Fun Week starts April 1st. On there, so it's Monday Night Death, the return with H2O Wrestling. Tuesday night will be Hustle Cup 3 with H2O. Wednesday night will be the IGB, which is the Intergender Bonanza. You can watch me probably get beat up by a couple women, most likely, since I'm a heel there. So, you know,
Danny doesn't have to pay for it.
No,
you can't beat that.
No, my wife actually likes it when I get beat up, so it's even better.
You might have to watch out for the grocery store girl, because if she
she'll be there all three nights, most likely. So I'm like, I'll stick my wife on her. So, you know, on her. What? All three of those shows are on. They're on IWTV live, 8 p.m. bell on all three nights. I think on Friday night there's some joint show we're doing in Woodbury, New Jersey, which is right outside of Philly. There's actually like four companies doing a show. It's actually the Wrestling Independent, which will be the first company on there. That show starts at 6 p.m. Luckily, that show only lasts an hour. So I'm in and out. I can get to like any other show on Friday night if I have to. So the window is wide open for all different stuff. So Thursday's the only lone day off I have. So.
You're going to have to make sure you book a hotel that has a patio.
Yeah, well, this is the best part of EA, right? except for my own.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to post links to all these things on X as well. Again, check out all the websites. Check out IWTV.com. Great, great place to find all of your action for wrestling companies that perform on that. Again, check out WrestleCon. We're going to go ahead and post those there so you can still get your tickets. And we'll keep you guys posted on any other breaking news of what's going to be happening. If you want to follow Jim on Twitter/X, it's JimMolineaux. You can follow. That's like perfect. You're pointing right to the spot.
See that? I did it perfectly the first time.
That's right. If you'd like to follow Nick, you can follow him at Ref Nick Papa G. Right there. Perfect. Look at that.
Oh, man, there's technology on there.
I tell you what, this production of this show is just so high quality, man. You get your show notes like 40 minutes before the show, and yeah. By the way, really quickly, I don't know if you guys realize this, but does anyone know the person who actually owns the ECW sign that used to be outside the arena?
No, but I saw somebody did buy it.
Oh, yeah.
It is none other than, if you were to give a guess, who would you say? If you were to give a guess.
Oh, God.
Stan the Fan.
No. Good old Stanley.
It is Mr. Conrad Thompson.
That's about right.
That's right. That's right. I remember that now. Yeah.
He owns it right there. I always thought it would be funny if there was an episode of the original ECW when they were always being made fun of the bingo hall. If literally they had like the Sandman like spinning the cage, I-24. You know, and all of a sudden somebody calls bingo incorrectly, and then fight breaks out.
The old ladies who came to those bingo games would not allow anybody
to
play around with.
They were more extreme than them.
Hell no.
They were hardcore.
I'm not fighting them.
Wow. Tremendous.
Yeah, they would wait until we were cleared out of there. They would do bingo at, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the old ladies are out there in their purses and house coats. Waiting to get in.
There is big money though that can be made in bingo, because I am in a predominantly Catholic area, so fish fries and bingo is a big thing, and some of their jackpots, they're not messing around. So
does Columbus do the hoagie sale on Saturday?
Yes,
once a month.
Yep.
Around here it's fire halls.
So I know a couple people who can walk away with a couple $100 a night, yeah. But I don't know how much the cards are. And then the stampers and all that jazz, they're pros. Another thing I want to ask you guys, this has been kind of picked up in our area in Cincinnati. And I don't know if you guys have that same trend where you guys are at. Is pickleball a popular thing? Pickleball in your area?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's the place in, Pittman. There's that big facility in Pittman. Nick knows where Pittman is. Pittman, New Jersey. There's a big facility there that it used to be the indoor football team practiced there.
Oh, okay.
They've got huge. I think they got rid of one of their basketball courts to put up pickleball courts. Same with there's an outdoor pickleball place in Cherry Hill. That I go by there every morning, and there are already cars in the parking lot.
I literally first heard about it. Another teacher told me about it, and it literally looks like ping pong with a lowered net that would be for tennis. But he went on in the teacher's lounge for 40 minutes about, you can't step in the kitchen. You can't do this. You got to serve it a certain way. It's like, I just want to know if the rest of the country is enthralled with this as much as it is permeating the Cincinnati area. So it sounds like it's kind of universally accepted by a lot of people.
No, thanks.
Yeah. That and racquetball. I never understood what's the point of hitting the ball against a wall.
Right. I never liked. I mean, I could watch it. I could watch it better than wanting to play it. It's tennis. If it came to tennis, I'm always thinking, if anybody saw Bachelor Party, the movie Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks, there's a tennis scene in there where he's doing nothing but knocking home runs into the neighbor's yard.
I don't know if I've seen that. I've seen him in The Burbs.
Oh, come on.
I
don't think that's, that's his best movie.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. Guys, it has been so much fun for Nick Papagee, for Jim Molino. I am Mike Freeland. The Christopher Butt experiment did not work. He is in Sin City tonight, probably going to a strip club to see if he can find some chicken tenders. We'll talk with him probably next week, but for all of us here, we'll catch you next week.